All right, good afternoon, Sanya in India. How are you?
Afternoon. I am doing really well in this moment. How are you?
Yeah, great. I'm doing really well. Nice to have you here. Yeah, I love talking to you for the next 45 minutes or an hour. And would you like to introduce yourself and say a bit what you're doing and who you are? And yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to first say thank you for having me on here. I'm really thrilled to be here. I think you and I touched base maybe a couple of months ago, and when you had sent me a message and asked me if I wanted to be a part of this. And yeah, I felt very excited to come on and share my part of my journey with everybody that's listening and with you as well, and connect with you deeper. So I'm Sanya Manocha, and by profession, I'm a holistic coach and counselor. And I have been working within this field for the past 5 years. But I like to sort of think that while I've been doing this professionally for the last 5 years, I think every little bit of my life has sort of contributed to officially sort of stepping into this role. And that's because I've always been a very empathetic person, a great listener. And I was speaking to my friend yesterday about how, you look back at your childhood and you think about the things that you used to do, the games you used to play. And my most favorite game that I used to play was teacher, lining up with these students, these imaginary students with a blackboard or a whiteboard, and just sort of drawing out things and teaching everybody. I've always been really passionate about teaching. So it was a very natural progression to come into this work and be able to share the wisdom, but also learn the skills to hold space for individuals so that they feel really seen and heard and understood in their journey of life. And what I really do is I work with individuals and with people within group settings to help them come into a place of self-remembering, for them to really remember who they are at their core, which I like to describe as the true self. And this true self is something that's been with us since day one, and we've just forgotten. We have a lot of veils of ignorance on us. And I think the reason that I've come into this work is because I reached a point where my suffering took me to a place where I had to really start questioning who I was, what my purpose was in life, why I was here. Did I just come here to suffer and be in pain? Or is there a greater purpose to all of this that's happening in the larger universe? And as I found my own answers, which are forever changing, I started to understand some key sort of themes of how the universe works and how we as individuals work, how our mind works, how our body works, how our emotions work. What is the soul? What is the spirit? And I started to connect with my soul and my spirit through practices such as meditation and yoga, and psychedelics also played a part in it, which sort of opened the door for me to exploring all of this. And once I sort of started to explore this and understand it, I sort of put all the pieces together and thought, if I can help reduce the suffering within humanity by showing people through example, but also through holding space for them, asking them the right questions, leading them through processes, and facilitating the kind of space that allows them to come into a deeper understanding of who they really are, then I can die a happy woman. I've done my part to help improve humanity and to help people see why they're here and what they're here to do, and how this three-dimensional reality is just a projection, and it is a simulation. And if we can see that, we can start to take things a bit more lightly, and we can see that suffering ends up being a choice. It's not something we have to go through, and that pain can be something that we can choose to see as a step to propel us into the next version of ourselves and into progressing our own consciousness and evolving as humans. So that's really, I guess, the gist of what I'm here to do, that I feel that I'm here called to do. And it is wonderful because through this I get to connect with individuals such as yourself.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. I mean, it's so amazing that you're so clear on your path, you know, and what you want to do. It's great to come to that point, you know, and find your purpose in life. And yeah, as we spoke before, like you just kind of said that your passion is to help people finding like their soul calling and listening to their intuition and not stopping at the mm-hmm. point when it gets uncomfortable. So do you want to explain a bit how that like how that can feel like?
Yes, I absolutely can. Sorry, I've been drinking chai and having milk, and it just sort of, you know, creates a bit of disturbance in my throat sometimes. So apologies for that. So yes, I was speaking earlier about coming to a place where we can start to listen to our soul more and start to decipher the messages that come through from soul versus, say, coming through from our ego. So our ego, I just want to kind of touch base on what our ego is first for people who don't maybe know what it is yet. So our ego is our identity. It is basically the costume that we wear from the day that we're born. So if we think about it as, you know, we come into this world, a baby born into a particular set of, born into a culture, a family, a society. And when we're born into that, we're not born into it knowing what that is. We just get told through our interaction with people that, hey, like, for example, with me, hey, okay, I am Indian. I'm part of this particular family system, this particular society. This is my culture. I am Hindu Punjabi. This is what's happening. I have a brother. I have a mom and my dad. This is what's happening. This is your extended family. Through this, I get to learn about myself and I get to basically form who I am, who Sanya really is. So at this age, I don't have a way to decipher between who I really am and the identity that's given to me. I just sort of wear this. It's like a feather in my cap. I just put it on. And I'm at a very exploratory stage of my life. I'm exploring. So I'm touching things. I'm drawing. I'm painting. I'm singing. I'm finding out who I am. I'm building my individuality. And this individuality that I build is actually my ego being formed. And as my ego starts to form, I get more and more solidified and I develop a sense of self. So my sense of self today is Sanya, who's a female, who is, you know, a holistic coach, who likes singing. So I have all these things that I've sort of gathered based on my experiences. And this is all part of my ego or my identity. Now, this ego and this identity has certain mechanisms. And some of the mechanisms are the fact that my ego will do what it can to protect itself. And the ego is actually the voice in your head. It's the monkey mind that chatters to you 24/7. And its role, its only key role, is to keep you separate from everybody else, to help you feel more superior to the rest of the people, to help you feel like you are the one who's right, you are the one who's correct. So every time something happens that triggers this ego, its tendency is to go towards a place where it feels separate from the other person. So if someone hurts us, or if someone, you know, looks different to us and we get into judgment, that's the ego. So it's all about us. It's always about us. And this particular ego, as I said, is built on its mechanism where it's fundamentally quite insecure. So it's always trying to feel whole through experiences. It's always trying to feel whole through desires that we have. Now, when we live our lives from ego and we're not aware of anything beyond ego, that's when I would say I don't really like using the term asleep, but I'd say unconscious. We're unconscious. We're operating from a place of unconsciousness. Because I've been given this identity and now I'm on this particular path, which for me was, you know, Sanya, you go to school and then you go to university and then you get a job. And then after you get a job, you buy a house and then you get married and then da, da, da. And it's like the path is laid out by society. And my ego is just doing this. It's blindly following this path until I start to question, where are these desires coming from? Who has inflicted this upon me? Is this really what I want? And who is this I that wants it? So, you know, you start to ask these questions, and these are the questions that I started to ask at a very young age, which is like, is this really what I'm here for? I'm working at this job. It doesn't feel very satisfying. And I can see my whole life path laid out in front of me. And I'm not thrilled by this. It doesn't light me up. I'm living, but I don't feel alive. Why is that? What is happening? And all these questions started to come along. But when you're living in an environment or a society where other people are maybe not asking these questions and you don't have the type of community that's doing that, you very quickly slip back into the same unconscious tendencies. And for me, breaking out of that was going through, you know, certain set of circumstances that led me to the point where I found a community and I found a group of people and I found all of these incredible ways to allow myself to further keep inquiring into these questions and into these desires. And when that started to happen, I started to realize that there is something beyond ego here. There is something that is operating beyond this voice in my head, beyond this identity that I've come into the world with. And basically, one of the simplest ways that I would say to ask yourself this question is, we all have this voice inside of our heads all the time.
Mm.
And we're going to call this voice the thinking voice. It is consistently thinking and it sounds like us. So we're very convinced that it is us. When I ask people, you know, who is this voice in your head? People are like, it's me. I'm like, okay, cool. So if that's you, how are you able to relay what you just thought back to me? And this confuses a lot of people because they go, I don't know. What do you mean? And I say, well, there's a voice inside of your head. But there's also something listening to that voice. There is something inside of you that is listening to that voice or that thought that's able to tell me that thought in your head right now. So what is that? And this is the beginning of something called self-inquiry. It's like, what is that? Mm-hmm. And as you go deeper into that, it leads you to a point where you realize that there is an awareness. There is a present awareness inside all of us all the time. And that is a thing that's unchanging. That is a thing that's been there since day one, before this identity was given. So that is really who we are. And we're just wearing a costume of this identity. So when we're walking about in life and we're sort of, you know, picking a direction to go into, it's important, I feel, to start asking ourselves the questions of, who am I? Who is this voice inside of my head? If I have this desire to maybe want to have a child or to work in this particular industry or to travel or to do anything, whose desire is that? What is it going to give me? Where does this come from? And I think that's the beginning of actually cultivating this relationship between yourself and your awareness, your ego and your awareness, and starting to actually decipher between the two. And as we start to do that, awareness starts to seep in more and more into our lives. So that's sort of where I would say is a really good starting point for a lot of people to start asking these questions and start to connect with something that's beyond just this voice inside of our heads.
So it's kind of nearly, you know, getting rid of layers that we put on ourselves and belief systems. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually like a self-remembering. It's like remembering who we truly are is a process that we are going to go through in life. It's like we come into this world with absolutely no recollection of who we truly are. Then the ego starts to form and then we really forget who we truly are. And then we just live from that place until something happens. Something happens, either a tragedy happens or a crisis happens, or for some people, you know, that's not their path. For some people, they just start to meditate and then suddenly they're like, oh, there's something beyond this. So everybody has a certain set of experiences that take place in life that bring us to a point where we start to get glimpses of this remembrance. And that's when we start to see the belief systems, the conditioning, the programming, that all of that is in the realm of the ego. And that shaped our personality, which then creates our personal reality, which then creates things like suffering in our life. Mm-hmm. So in order to kind of come back and not feel like we're suffering or not feel like we're you know, we're alive, but we're not truly living our lives. If we have that feeling of feeling dissatisfied or unfulfilled, which a lot of people get to a point of that once they sort of achieve all the materialistic things, they're like, oh, but I still feel like a little bit, you know, dissatisfied. I'm still going to sleep feeling kind of empty. So why is that? Why is it that this relationship or this job or the fact that I have all this money is not able to give me that? You know, why is that? And that's because that is satisfying the ego. It's satisfying the ego's desires, which is not a bad thing because we do need to satisfy those desires if we feel called to. But once we satisfy them, we realize that that's not really the contentment and the satisfaction we're looking for. What we're looking for is to reconnect back to who we truly are, is to fully remember our true essence. And that, because in that place, there's no polarity. There's no like right and wrong or black and white or happiness and sadness. That's just a place of pure contentment. And that is what we're really wanting. And that's why we go about life trying to do all these things just to try to get to that place.
Yeah. And how do you get to that place?
Golden question. The question that's been asked for years and years and years by everybody. So my take on it is obviously not original. It's based on inspiration from so many different places. But one path that you can follow is the path of yoga. You know, the path of yoga is basically designed to help you come into self-realization, to reach a place of enlightenment and eventually a place where you're liberated from this death and rebirth cycle. You reach moksha. And yoga is not just doing the asanas. It's not just physical. Yoga has many different pillars. And if you live the yogic path, you're essentially creating the conditions around you to get to a place where you're going to remember who you truly are more on a daily basis. So basically, in yoga, the mind and, you know, the voice in your head, the thoughts, they're actually the thing that hinder you most when it comes to realizing who you truly are. Because it's your thoughts in your head that will come in on a daily basis with doubts and fears and insecurities. And when you get those, you get stuck in the illusion, you get stuck in the Maya, and you don't realize that this is all just a simulation. It's a game. We're characters in a video game. We're just playing a part here. That it's actually not a big deal, that you can play whatever part you want in this lifetime. It is completely okay to play whatever part you want. But we forget that. And when we practice even the asanas, what happens is the mind actually starts to quieten. So when we talk about self-remembering or reaching a place of enlightenment, from what my experience has been so far, I am most connected to who I truly am, and in remembrance of my soul or my spirit, when my mind is not chattering away, when there is actually stillness within my mind. And the things that get me to a place of stillness are things like meditation and yoga when I practice those asanas. But within yoga, as I said, there's many other forms as well. There's a particular diet you can follow that helps your thought patterns to start to space out more so that they aren't just chattering away. Then there's things like within Hinduism, you can follow a devotional path, which is bhakti yoga, which is you're basically, you know, chanting a lot, you're reciting mantras, all these things, they help still the mind. And once you start to still the mind, it's just your pure awareness and you're there. There's nowhere to get to, then you realize you're already there. And that moment itself is so enough in its essence that there's no place to actually get to.
So what do you think is the ultimate state? Like pretty much just being in silence and feeling full, but also empty? Or what would be your take on that?
Yeah, I like how you put that, being full, but also empty. I feel like I'm still playing with this, but I feel like the state that feels really natural is being fully involved and non-attached at the same time. You know, it's like
also you're fully beautiful.
Immersed. Yeah. So I'm so immersed in this life experience, yet I am not attached to this experience in any way. I'm still observing it from awareness. And then that way, from that perspective, I'm not in resistance to anything that shows up, because I'm not attaching myself and identifying with that particular circumstance, experience, or emotion as a way to add to my identity. I'm just there with it. And so regardless of whether life is showing up as pleasure or pain, I'm equanimous. Mm. I'm just, either way is okay. Mm. And I feel like that is really the state that, that I feel called to sort of experience more in my day-to-day life.
Yeah. And then the triggers from outside come in and you need to stay in the stillness, the humans and the relationships, yes, and the situations, yes, of people that are not like-minded. So how are we dealing with that?
Well,
that's mostly, that's what I found in life, is mostly interrupting that I can be at peace.
Yeah.
But then
yeah,
the people around you have to handle and deal with. And,
that
still sometimes manage to still trigger you in situations where you're like, I thought I was beyond that. But no, there's another lesson to learn. And you're like, okay, thanks for this lesson, but how much do I need? And why did you come into my life? For what? You know, and then out of a sudden I feel like, oh, there are possibly things I still need to look at.
So, yes. So I feel like this sort of thing where we're on this path and we get triggered by people, and you know, shit happens, right? It's gonna keep happening in life. I think so. There's kind of two things. The first is a change in perspective, like a deep change in perspective, which for me has not come just from intellect, because we can read a lot of books and watch a lot of videos and we can go to workshops and we can sort of hear a lot of information, just like this podcast. People can listen to it and we can gain a lot of intellectual wisdom, and I think that that's a great place to start, because that's where I've started as well. But then there's also a place for experiential wisdom, where you start to, because of something that's taken place inside of your body, you start to sort of really embody this change in perspective, because you've seen it for yourself. So a change in perspective or shift that I've noticed is when people come into your life, basically not just people, but anything, absolutely anything, a flight getting delayed, something happening, you know, your wallet getting stolen, you getting into like some form of like an accident, whatever, any life circumstance that happens to you or a person that triggers you, it's like, you see that it's all there for you. It's all there for the evolution of your soul. Like there is no thing that's happening around you that is there as a way of harming you or hurting you or trying to piss you off or trying to make your life difficult. It's all there for you. It's served on a platter for you. And the way that this perspective has come in is not just like, oh, everything is working out for me, the universe has my back, which is very much a place that I started at. But it's also a fundamental reality and a law, which is that we are actually not separate to each other. We are deeply connected. We are part of the same whole. We just look different. You know, we're leaves of the same tree. We're waves of the same ocean. So if something in you is triggering me, there is an opportunity here for the both of us to experience more of our true nature through this. So then everything in your life becomes a vehicle for growth, a vehicle for freedom, a vehicle for liberation. And it's like anything could happen, but this is my opportunity to observe this sensation in my body, observe this emotion, not get attached, allow my human self to fully feel this. And like I said, be deeply involved and fascinated that, wow, my character now gets to play this game of being really, really angry. I'm playing the part of being really angry right now. And that's so amazing, because I'm like in a play right now and I get to fully do this. But at the same time, I'm not attached for it to be going anywhere. It's just so like whole in its essence that I get to experience this. And then you kind of, I guess, come to a place where there is resolve in that, if the person is interested or not interested in that resolve. But for you, it's about being true to your practice. Like when you're committed to that practice, it's like, I'm just going to do that. This is my life's work now. This is what I'm going to do, because I know that everything is happening for me. That if that person is getting annoyed at me, that if I did something to annoy them, that's also happening for me. So anything that happens in our life is happening for us, is something that I feel helps us deal with these kind of situations. Mm-hmm. And knowing that fundamentally, if we're all connected, whatever resolution we reach out of this or whatever perspective we gain out of this is ultimately going to benefit the both of us. And that's why it's here. So that's like one kind of perspective shift that I think is really helpful in this kind of scenario. But the second one is having a really solid sadhana, which is like a practice. It's like when you have a practice of things that you can do for yourself, where you can actually, for 1 hour a day out of your 24 hours, instead of looking outside, you can close your eyes and you can go inwards and you can start to observe what's happening in your mind and your body, and you can develop this kind of relationship with yourself. That's when, you know, by doing that, we sort of get to walk around with an umbrella. It gives us the ability to have this natural umbrella so that when the rain falls, when the thunder hits or whatever it is, it's going to hit anyway. That's nature. But our umbrella is here. And the only way it can be here is if we can spend that time with ourselves. But if we don't spend that time with ourselves, we'll just get swayed by everything all the time, because we haven't created any distance between our thoughts. We haven't developed awareness of ourselves. When you have awareness of yourself, when those challenging times come along, it's a lot easier to be like, oh, actually, I have this umbrella. So even though this stuff is coming my way, it's like you have a layer of protection almost from it affecting you in the same way. It sort of like gives you the opportunity to look at it as something that's working out for you. Then you stop reacting to it. But if you're not taking that time for yourself, you're going to continuously react, because that's just the way your habit patterns of your mind have just been developed over years and years and years. And they're used to doing that. And awareness creates space, and it creates the ability to watch the thoughts and watch the emotions and not be them, because then you're reacting from them. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting what you say, because what if you can't sit with yourself because it gets too much for yourself? Because I think it's also sometimes really listening to yourself and discovering things that you might not want to look at can be also pretty overwhelming. And if they come up, like, how do you handle them, you know?
Yeah. That's a really good question. I think in this particular day and age, we're really fortunate. We have a lot of professionals that do this. And so for me, I didn't start this alone. So my journey started the very first thing I did was therapy. And therapy allowed me to be more accepting of the pain I was actually in. So what a therapist does or a coach does is they mirror a relationship back to you that you start to develop with yourself. So it's like, as they sit with you with non-judgment, acceptance, love, you start to see that there's a human in the world that is able to sit with me in this. And as they do that, you start to then internalize that relationship with yourself. And you go, oh, so like, this is how she sat with me in this process. And then I can now sit with myself in this process. You kind of get like I get a visceral experience of it, right? It's like in my body, I'm able to now notice what it feels like to confront these things. And at the beginning of this, it is going to be maybe a bit confrontational. So the word I want to bring in, the quality I want to bring in here is bravery and courage. You know, we have to, this path, you have to have courage. But I think you get to a point where a lot of people get to this point. I don't know anyone who hasn't reached this point, that sort of stepped into this path of self-awareness and become more self-aware, is that you know, the pain of the situation that they're in is just not equivalent to the unknown and the opportunity that lies in the unknown. So it's like, I know that this is going to be uncomfortable to get out of this comfort zone right now, but the pain of staying here is more than the pain of taking this risk and just stepping out. So everybody gets to that point. And I think that is our soul's evolution here. Like our soul has to come back into remembering. We have to come back into remembering of who we truly are. And that is just the path, and being brave at every step of the way, starting with, okay, if I need to turn this lens inwards, can I reach out for help? Can I first start by doing this maybe with a friend, if there's a friend available that wants to be there with me in this? Or can I take this one step further? Can I sit with someone in a professional setting? Can I go to a workshop where other people are doing this in a vulnerable way? Can I start to normalize this in my life a little bit? And as you start to do that, and when you get a taste of it, you keep going, because you realize that it's actually not as scary as it seems, because it's just you. And all those things that you're afraid of have already happened. So when you go inwards, it's not like you're repeating anything. All that shit's already happened. You're just becoming aware of where it is, the impact of it, how it shaped you, how it shaped your character. And that brings you to a position of choice and empowerment of like, oh, okay, I see how this has affected me now. And I'm aware of this. Now I know why I am the way I am. Now I can move forward with a better understanding, especially if I'm, you know, people pleasing and I don't have any boundaries and I, you know, continuously say yes when I don't want to say yes, and I'm afraid of speaking up, and, you know, all these sort of what I like to call symptoms that show up in our life. When these things keep showing up for us that just don't seem right, we're like, why am I really doing that? Mm-hmm. Well, go inwards and you will know, because everything has cause and effect. It's not random. It doesn't come out of nowhere.
Well, I think it also has something to do with your character, you know, because like obviously we are who we are, and then situations come on and on and on, and you're like, mm-hmm. why is this there again, you know? And then it's like, yeah, maybe I should have some courage and react to it differently. So instead of saying something, I just leave the situation, because, you know, if for example, someone is not nasty, which also triggers you on somewhere where you might feel remembered to a situation or you're insecure in that, and then someone points it out and it's like, cool, thanks for that. I also don't need to react to it. I'm just going to walk away and just, you know, have a... this feeling of it. And I think like sometimes there's safe spaces where you can say things, but with some people I feel there's also no point in saying anything, because, you know, they're not there where you could have a growing conversation about specific things. You know, where people want change but actually no, where they're kind of aware but not. And I think, it's sometimes I feel it's also good to be gentle to yourself. I found this helped me a lot on, like, you know, I've been like so hard on myself most of the time that I feel like it's also good to be more gentle to yourself and, you know, accept what's happening and just accept the people around you, and also understand that most of their behavior has actually nothing to do with you, or you might trigger something in them because you're so pure and honest and they can't handle it, but it also ultimately has nothing to do with you. And I think, you know, it's good when you come to the state where it's like, that's what I mean. Like, I'm really completely full, but I'm also empty. And of course, I feel like I've also times, you know, where feelings are different, and it's good to accept, because sometimes... I was talking with my friend about it today, because I feel a lot of things have also to do with nutrition, on how you actually feel in your body and how your different levels, for example, of anxiety rise, on like how your digestion goes, whether it's nurturing for you or not.
Absolutely.
You know, and I feel that, and also your hormonal state, like when you actually finally understand that in women and men, it's like, sometimes you are more sensitive. Even your body is more sensitive to even a massage or something. And
Yeah.
I found it's really good to even become aware of this and, you know, then being like gentle to yourself. Yeah. I think I just wanted to add this because I think it's so important. And I sometimes feel like possibly by the time I'm 80, I haven't even unraveled everything that I learned, understood, you know, like, I just put into myself. And it's, as you said, it's like also courage to, you know, every day get an impulse or an intuition and then go with this and change it when you even don't know how. And
Yes, exactly. I love what you're saying about being compassionate and gentle. And I think it's a really, there's never a bad time to do that.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what we're going through in life, I think some people like to be gentle and compassionate because they feel like they need to be deserving of it or something needs to happen in order for them to approach themselves in that way. But I think having a default of always just being really kind, gentle, and compassionate to yourself is really important. Because no one has given us a book on how to do life. We have no instructions. You know, we weren't taught anything growing up. So we're just, most of us weren't. So we're just feeling it out. You know, we're feeling it out. We're thinking it out. We're experiencing life. And it's almost like we're in this big playground learning the skill of life as life is happening. It's like there's nowhere. You don't really get anywhere. You just sort of get better and better at certain things. And so to be kind and compassionate and, you know, treat yourself nicely, even when, you know, things aren't going the way that you want them to, I think is really important because there's just way more than meets the eye with this entire reality, way more than meets the eye. And I think if you know that, if you feel that, then it's good to have a default of being kind, because if you don't know what you're really doing or you're trying to find your way or you're sort of fumbling your way around life, you know, being critical towards yourself or being hard on yourself is just going to make it a lot harder. It's like kicking yourself when you're down. It just doesn't make any sense.
It's even, I feel like sometimes when you dive deeper, it's even that I sometimes feel, you know, there's not even as many words to describe how you actually, what you sometimes want to say or feel, you know, that's sometimes how I feel as well. And then also there's, it would be awesome if at school they would have this whole list of emotions that you can sometimes even identify even how you feel.
Because
I have a feeling a lot of people also be in this emotional state, but then they don't even know
what
they're feeling right now. And then once you go in your head, it's like, I'm just angry. But no, in fact, it's like, I'm just sad because someone said something to me and ultimately my anger is a reaction to it. But and then I might not feel safe in the space of saying, you know, oh, I'm sad right now and I don't know why. It's just how I feel. And it would be nice to create more safe spaces for people to, you know, also really can be themselves. And
definitely. And I think what I want to add to that is it would be so, it's important to have that experience, that life embodiment, embodied experience of safety. And I think that, you know, for me being involved myself in many groups, working with many teachers and individuals, I have experienced that. And obviously it's given me like an embodied version of what that feels like to be safe and to speak up. But the other piece I want to add to this is, you know, which is going to feel a bit contradictory, but I think that's what all the teachings really are, is, you know, let's not wait for permission to fully express ourselves and say what we mean, what we feel. Because I think a lot of times we hold back on doing that because we're not sure how the other person will take it. We're not sure about how it will be received. But it's bringing in a level of trust that the other person will handle it, that they're capable of handling it. That if I can just be true to myself here and just be fully myself and not need to wait to feel like I'm in a safe place in order to fully express, I think that's just, I think that that gives us ourselves a deeper level of trust within ourselves, because we're trusting not only ourselves to just be true, but also the other person that they can handle it. And if they can't handle it, they will work that out. The responsibility piece, they will work that out. Mm. And obviously this is considering, you know, a way that we'll be able to communicate in a way where we can take responsibility for ourselves and how we feel and what we're experiencing. But yeah, I just want to add in that we don't always have to wait as well for safety, mm. that we can learn safety by showing ourselves that it's okay to speak up about what we feel and what we need and what is happening for us without even knowing whether it's going to be well received by the other person. It's almost, again, that courage piece, that taking a risk piece and finding out through feedback, oh, okay, this person is not available for this conversation. Yeah. But we only really know after trying. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I didn't really mean only create a safe space, but I feel like if we give more love and we are more aware, everyone has also a space to say things, because I feel often a lot of the time people don't communicate what they actually feel, but you get like the vibe of what they actually want to say, but they don't say it. And
they don't say it, yeah.
And that's possibly more what I mean was like, maybe safe space is the wrong word, but, you know, just... feeling okay, what you just pretty much said, you know, saying
like holding back, so like not holding back, essentially.
Not holding back, yeah, exactly. And I guess like coming from not hurting others, just more from your own true self and your heart, you know, and coming with love and
yeah, exactly. But see, all of this is funny because I think the key word here for all of this is just self-awareness.
Yeah,
you know, when we self-awareness, we can entertain these ideas a lot more easily, and we can kind of know that, hey, I want to communicate from a place where, you know, ultimately it is going to be coming out of love. But in order to do that, having that sense of self-awareness, I think is like the key word here, the key theme here, because that's what will allow us to hold back and express and entertain conversations like this.
Absolutely. Well, amazing. Yes. Is there anything else you want to add to this conversation, like that we haven't spoken about?
What I'd love to add is that, you know, if you're listening to this and if you're at a stage where you're starting to become really aware that there's something beyond this identity, beyond this ego, that there's something beyond this reality, that there's more than what meets the eye. As you start to cultivate that awareness, it's going to start to feel, well, this is my experience, is it can start to feel a little bit uncertain, a little bit like we're stepping into an unknown experience here. Because we're not just following a path that's been laid out by society or an automatic path that's been laid out based on ideas that our ego has collected about the kind of life we need to be living. We're really tapping into something that's greater than what we can just see around us. And that path, in that path and that living that path, you're sort of living moment by moment in a state of surrender. You're living in this place where everything is really unknown. But there's a level of trust that starts to develop when you say yes to living that kind of path, where you don't need to know the path that's laid out in front of you. You don't need to know the final destination. You don't even need to know what tomorrow holds. You're just here right now, and you're so trusting and fully here in this moment that this moment then takes you to the next moment, and then takes you to the next moment. And when that happens, everything that we desire comes into fruition anyway, but it comes into fruition in a way where we're sort of living in flow. It's not coming from mind, where we're putting in all this effort and trying to make it happen. We're just We're just in this sort of stream of consciousness where things are happening through us, and sort of like, you know, the universe is working through us. We're not trying to make it happen. This flow of current is working through us. And through that, things are happening. And when those things are happening, the fulfillment level is just like, is actually to the highest level, because we're not just working for our individual, you know, needs and desires. We're sort of aligning ourselves to the universe's and our soul's purpose and desire for us as well. And that's what I feel is like alignment. And when that alignment takes place, you are going to be living in a state where you're not going to know what that end goal is or what that fully entails, but you have a rough idea of maybe the path that you might need to take. So I guess what I want to say is keep listening to yourself, keep developing self-awareness, keep asking questions that confuse you a little bit. Mm. Confusion is a great state to be in. Who am I? What? What do you mean? I'm Sanya. Okay, who is Sanya? You know, where did Sanya come from? What are your biggest insecurities? Were you born with them or did they develop over time? Where did they come from? You know, they came from somewhere. Start asking questions, start inquiring into your world, into what's happening inside of your body, inside of your mind, what emotions are, how they show up for you. And through that, I feel like self-awareness starts to seep into your life more and more. And when that starts to seep in, our intuition grows stronger and stronger. And as that grows stronger and stronger, we start to sort of say yes to things without needing to know the why behind them. We just follow, like, okay, you need to do this, but why? Doesn't matter, because there's a level of trust. I need to do it because this thing has come through and I'm going to now go do it. And it doesn't mean that it's always going to work out, but when you say yes to things without knowing why and without putting too much pressure into like needing to know everything before you take that step or before you take the plunge or before you take a risk, the message you're actually giving is that I got my back. That no matter what happens, it's going to be okay. That even if I take this step, I trust that whatever it needs to unfold, however it needs to unfold, it will. But I got my back through this. So I don't need it to work out a certain way. I'm just so trusting of the process of the unfolding of it that it doesn't have to work out a certain way, because I don't need that future safety. I right here, right now have my back. So that's kind of what I wanted to, you know, say to anyone listening is that your intuition is always speaking to you. It is whispering to you, and those whispers get louder and louder and louder. And the way to decipher between your intuition and the voice of your ego is your intuition will never be based in fear. It'll just be like a silent voice, like, hey, I think you should do this. Fear will come in and say, but what if? But what if this? But what if that? But what if this? So your intuition is based in a level of trust and a security that comes from knowing that you're just playing a role in this life, that this is not who you truly are, that your true essence is always here, your soul is always here, your spirit is always here, and that you can't really get anything wrong. You can't stuff life up. You can't stuff this up. You can't really make mistakes. Everything is an unfolding of your character in this lifetime. So just go ahead and do whatever you want to do, because you just can't get it wrong. It's not possible.
We're so short here anyway on this ground. So yeah, it's like a soul has a earthy experience, or how someone has said before. I can't remember the quote right now, but
Yeah,
beautiful. I mean, I think you said so many valuable, beautiful things that are definitely, you know, helpful to, be like aware. And I would definitely link all your details in the show notes. And then people can contact you if they want to work with you or want to know more. And I have always a last question, which I think you partly answered, but is there like a key message, you know, in your life that you just wanted to give out to the world?
Oh, a final message.
I feel you kind of said it already before. It's like a key. There's like an essence of.
Yeah. I feel like I have said a lot of things. I guess all I want to say is dare to be courageous, and you know that can apply to starting the process of self-inquiry, starting to look inwards, starting to develop deeper self-awareness by looking inwards, by maybe spending more time alone and facing some of those fears if you might have them. But just be courageous, because no one is going to come and hand anything to you. You know, it's you are ultimately here to create the kind of experience that you want. And if you're waiting for something, don't take action, do something for yourself, because you are an individuation of divine. You are God in human form, and you have the power to do that. You have the power to create anything that you want. And the only way you're going to find out about your true potential, about what you're here to create, is by actually doing it. You know, so don't believe me. Try it for yourself, experience it for yourself. Mm-hmm. And then that's the wisdom that's going to help you keep going. Don't believe anything people say. Try these things for yourself, experience them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I am here to kind of guide people through this. So if you feel like you would like to connect and have a chat, I offer free consultations that allow us to dig deeper into these topics, allow us to identify the challenges that come up on our day-to-day lives, and also identify the path, the vision that you want to be walking on, how to listen to your soul more, how to develop your intuition, how to have a deeper level of self-trust so that you can have the experience that you're really wanting in this life, in your relationships, in your career, in your health. So please go ahead and reach out to me, and we will have a really friendly chat about it, and you'll have a lot of clarity about what you may need to do next and whether that's working with me or someone else. But that itself is going to be an act of courage. So go forth, be courageous is my message.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much for your time and your honesty and sharing everything. And thank you, Sonia.
You're welcome. It's been really fun.
Yeah. All right.